Thank you, senior pastor. I was about to ask him, who is this Pastor Chua? I want to know him too. You know, this is a season where we want to talk about going beyond our church wall. Right? You know that this year is our 30th anniversary. Earlier part of the year, we talk about beyond our comfort zone. Then, somewhere in the middle of the year, we talk about beyond the church wall. Today, we want to talk about beyond our country. Right? Last week, you hear from Pastor Lawrence Chua that reminded us about the community. Today, you're also hearing from another Chua. Right? And we're going to talk to you about our mission in BBTC. And that's the reason why we are giving you this booklet about the mission in BBTC. Right? In this booklet, you get to read about the various mission groups that we are ministering to, the different part of the world that BBTC is actively serving. Alright, because we want to encourage all of you today to join us in blessing the community around us, the nations around us. And today, even for the sermon, I'll be sharing a lot of the stories from all the various trips so as to encourage you to be part of this exciting experience with the Lord in the mission field. Alright, so let's pray and ask God to guide us as we open up the Word. Alright, let's pray. Lord, we want to commit this time to you, and we indeed ask of you to be lifted up, so that, Lord, that we will not just hear words from mere men. We pray today that, Lord, that you will help us to hear your word for us individually, so that, Lord, that we will know our part, our roles in your kingdom, and help us to be found obedient to the call given to us. And then, Lord, we pray that you will silence the voice of the evil one, silence the voice of obstacles, challenges, and help us to have faith to obey that which you will show us. Commit this time to you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Let me start with a modern-day parable. Right, there's a story that is a parable and is something related to the church. It's known as the life-saving station. All right. It started off as just a hut with only one boat, all right, at the site, and few devoted members who gave of their time to watch over the sea. With no thoughts for themselves, they went there every day and night just to look out for survivors in the open sea so that they can launch the boat to rescue them. All right. Now, because of their effort, many lives have been saved. And those who have been saved, together with the community around the area, they decided to be a part of this life-saving station. They offered themselves, their time, their money, their effort to be part of the mission of this life-saving station. Soon, because of many people joining in, people being saved and being added, very soon people, because they give their money and all that, more boats were bought and new crew members were trained, all right, for the rescue mission. And the life-saving station grew. And because of that, the people look at the hut again and say, it's too small. All right, and people begin to say that it is not adequate to serve the needs of the people that we're rescuing. And so they decided to expand the life-saving station. They begin to bring in beds to properly do out the place so that they can provide a place of refuge, a place of comfort for those that they rescue. And soon the new life-saving station became a very popular gathering place for members, for community, for people to come in. And because people are coming in, they begin to decorate the place. They decorate it beautifully. They furnish it exclusively because they begin to see that this is our place. All right, their sense of belonging, their sense of ownership over the place. And with the growing membership, now there was a need to build car park. There's a need to build restaurant. And of course, board members, committee members were elected. And when these people are put in place, they begin to develop training program to attract new members and to make the existing members occupied. And about this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast. And some of the older members managed to put on their life jacket, launched the boat, and went out to save those cold, wet, half-drowned crew members. These crew members were dirty, they were sick, some of them had tattoos, and some of them were smokers. And so resulted that the new club was beginning to be in chaos because they are not used to this the flood of new people coming in.
And so the programming committee began to come up with program to clean up these new members, make sure that they, because the people that are being saved will eventually become part of the life-saving station. So they need to be properly tutored, alright? Now, soon after that, there's a committee meeting and there was a split in a club membership. Some people questioned the need to risk their lives, to go and save lives. Because some of them said that we are not trained. Some begin to question the resources involved. How much are we spending to save lives? And some were not comfortable with the new kind of members joining because they are not like us. Some were just being offended because of what they see happening, you know. And soon a vote was called and the decision was made to maintain harmony. They decided to scale down the life-saving mission and focus on members' care. And as a result, the club thrived. The club grew up to even attract even more people. Meanwhile, out in the open sea, out in the raging sea, shipwrecks continued to happen and many lives perished beside the posh life-saving station. Why am I telling you this story? Because this is a mirror image of many churches today. Many churches today have decided to focus more on members' care than the original design that God intended for His church. God intended for His church to be a life-saving station, but many churches today have focused on members' care. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not against members' care. I'm not against providing pastoral care to the members in BBDC. Alright, but however, our shepherding, our nurturing, and members' care cannot be an end in itself. If that's all we do, just make sure that all of you are cared for, make sure all of you are properly nurtured as an end, then BBDC will become an inward-looking church. And that is not God's design for us. God never designed His church to be an inward-looking church. God wants us to be more than that. And thankfully, BBTC is not like that. How do I know? Because on the annual basis, every year, we set aside at least 20% of our offering, of our collection, and we give it away for mission agency, and for Christian organization. Alright? Every mission group mentioned here, every individual mentioned here, they are being supported by our funds. Alright, we set aside our total collection 20% and give it away. And not only to this group of people mentioned in this book, we also give to people like Alpha, we give to YWAM, we give to Crew, RTF, and many others. Because BBTC believes in giving to the mission field. And just this year alone, because of our 30th anniversary, we want to encourage all of you to go to the mission field. We already exceeded 30 teams. So you average out every team about 10 people. This year alone, we would have sent out at least 15% of our total membership out into the mission field for at least a week. In a sense, BBTC, we are doing okay. But God, I want to encourage us, we can do better. Can I hear amen? We can do better. Yes, we have been doing fine, but God tells us we can do better. Because interestingly, in the last 3 weeks, God has sent different preachers to encourage us to do much more. Alright, so we have from Pastor Lawrence Chua, that reminded us that evangelism brings life to the church. Don't stop doing evangelism because there will be new life. When there's new evangelism, new life. Alright, and Jesus is always in touch with the community. And then of course we got David Reverend here that came to tell us we are not our own. We've been purchased by Jesus and we therefore cannot live for ourselves. We must live for God. Alright, we are not our own and therefore we must live our life to fulfill God's purpose. The last one, he told me he cannot show his photo lah. Sam Walston. Alright, just in case it gets circulated. And Sam Walston gave us an assignment. Can you remember? Bring one. As he said, the next time when he comes back, he'll encourage us from now next 12 months, can we pray and ask God to help us that we'll bring one more soul to the kingdom of God? Because the church is a life-saving station and we must stay true to saving lives. Now this brings me back to this question. What is the purpose of the church? Why do we even call ourselves a church? Why are you even here today? The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia stands for basically being a community that isn't called out, being set apart. We are a community called out by God to be set apart for Him. The church is a community called out to do God's will. Right? We are not a community set apart for God to do our bidding. We are to do His purpose. We are a call-out community. And God did not give us any ambiguity of what He wants us to do. He has given us His Word to guide us. Our church, every church, exists for this reason. The Great Commission. The Great Commission is the final word that God gave before He ascended to heaven. Alright, this is commonly known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. Alright, do me a favor, at a count of three, let's read it together. Alright, ready? 1, 2, 3. Last words are lasting words. This word of God is not meant to be heard. It is meant to be obeyed. God wants us to obey the Great Commission. To do it. The Great Commission is a common text and many preachers have preached it. I just want to have a show of hand. How many of you have heard this sermon at least once? About this text, this scripture? Oh, so few are. Okay, never mind. I thought most of us have heard it because it's a common text and many preachers have preached it. Now, I won't ask you how many of you have started making disciples, alright, because some of you may be shy. But I've done my research, so from our survey, these are our results. Alright, we did a survey for the whole church and we discovered that about 30 to 35% of us have been actively mentoring somebody or actively discipling somebody. Now, if you make a comparison across churches, BBTC, we are doing not bad. But I believe that we can do more. Amen? Alright, there are about 30 to 35% now. You know, start staring about which tribe you're from. Never mind, no, not to worry. All this PowerPoint will be in our website in 3 days' time, okay? But the more important thing I want to encourage us is that we only achieve about 30%. But there are about 3,000 of us. I believe that certainly more of us can be involved in making disciples. Because God has called us to make disciples, to be part of the Great Commission. And therefore today I want to bring us back to the Great Commission again. Because I believe that in that verse, in the Great Commission, there are words that can encourage us. There are words that can equip us to be more effective. Now before I do that, can I tease all of us on your observation skill? Can I just have some fun with all of you? Yes? No? I'm doing it anyway lah. Tell me, what can you see? Can you see an animal? Okay, maybe you can't see. Let me zoom it for you, okay? Can you see now? Shout out for me, what can you see? Panda, that's right. Alright? I also that the first three rows cannot see because you're too close. Alright, so you need to look across, then you can see, yeah? There's a panda behind me. Okay. The sermon is not about panda, hello? No need to take picture! Okay. Now what am I doing? I'm trying to help you to apply your observation skill on the scripture. Tell me what can you see? Alright, apply on the scripture now. Can you see a keyword repeated many times? Take a good look. Can you find one keyword repeated several times? Now, I know some of you, you will observe one particular word repeated many times. But I want to tell you that's not the keyword. I'm not referring to this. Alright, I'm referring to one particular adjective that describe the extent, that describe the scope, that describe the intensity. Now this keyword is very important because it gives us a fuller understanding of the Great Commission. If you miss out this keyword, you miss out some of the emphasis of the Great Commission. Now what is the keyword? Not bad. All. Alright, depending on how you count, some of you counted there are three all, some of you counted there are four. Alright, let me explain to you one at a time, alright? As Jesus came out and spoke to them saying, all authority, alright, in heaven and on earth, talks about the full entirety of authority. Alright, it talks about the source for mission. Secondly, it talks about all the nations, talk about the whole globe, talk about the scope for missions. Then it says that teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. The word of God is given to us, today we call that scripture. Right? Scripture for mission. And then finally, the Lord says, I am with you always. Another translation for always is all the time. Right? God is with us all the time. And that will give us the strength to do the will of God. And I'm going to unpack all this for us. Alright, so this is the four all. All authority, all nations, all commands, and always with us. First, all authority. Verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The one who called us to go to mission is God Himself. And God Himself holds the authority on heaven and on earth. Now you may say, Pastor, why is this point important? It is important because you need to see the context. Alright, what happened to the verses before that? 16 and 17 give us the context. The disciples gathered and they came to worship Jesus. Now look at the last part. But some were doubtful. Some of the disciples, they were doubtful. Alright, they were told by Jesus to come and meet Jesus here. And they came. And some of them able to worship God, but some of them they could not. Why? Because they've gone through a lot. Alright, if you know the story, you know the gospel story, they've gone through a lot. Some of the disciples, they have a mental image of how a Messiah should be. And they were disappointed that Jesus was not quite like the Messiah they expected. Some of them, they went through emotional jadedness. Alright, Pastor Lawrence Choi used the word jaded. Some of them, they were jaded. Why? Because when they follow Jesus, they have a moment of high and a moment of low. At the cross, their hope were all gone. Then suddenly Jesus appeared again. It's very much too much for their heart to take it. And then lastly, there's one more group. They're not sure if this is truly the Jesus they knew. And so therefore they have doubt. And because Jesus understood the condition of the disciples, the Lord started by saying, all authority has been given to me. The Lord Jesus is helping them to understand that He has all the authority in heaven and on earth. All the spiritual authority and all the earthly authority as well, even though He may not be exercising them. Jesus may not have exercised the earthly authority when the soldiers pull Him and hang Him on the cross, but He holds the authority. And the one who called you and I to go to mission is the one who has all authorities. Heaven and earth is in the hand of God. The one who called us holds all authority. The Messiah of the world, the one who commissioned us, is the one who has all authority. Now, what does that mean for us? It's like you are just an ordinary soldier. And then the general of the army came to you and says, soldier, I want you to go and take this mountain with all the men I can give to you and all the military assets that I have. We will back you up. How would the soldier feel? Maybe some of you are not familiar about a general. A general has many assets. Alright, have aeroplane, have artillery, have many things, have tanks. And every resources that's in the general back the soldier up. And therefore the soldier can go with a greater sense of confidence. You multiply that many times over. That's what it means when God tells us He has all authority. And He said, go, because I'll be with you. You see, so if you understand who calls you, you would have the courage, you would have the confidence to go. Today I want to share with you several testimonies, and all the testimonies revolve some of you here. Why? Because I want to encourage the rest of you to be part of missions. Because I hope that their stories will encourage you to join us to go for mission trips. Alright? One particular brother shared with us about India trip. Alright? He struggled to go for mission trip because he had a certain medical condition. And because of his medical condition, he doubted in his mind whether God can use him in the mission field. But he felt the prompting of the Lord. He felt the Lord call him to do it. And therefore, in obedience, he go. In India, his condition did not act out throughout the trip. And the food, okay, the curry and all that, which would have aggravated his condition, did not cause any problems. Surely when he determined to do what was right for God, God did what was right for him. It was indeed a miracle for him because his condition was rather complicated. This brother was able to go with confidence because he sensed, he knew that it was God who called him, and he obeyed, and the Lord proved true for him. God is the source for mission. And because He's the source, He's the one who called us, we can go out with courage. We can go out with confidence. That's why in BBTC we want to encourage all of you to really consider going out at least once, right, within the next 12 months. Go out and touch the world for Jesus. Now in BBTC we practice both top-down and bottom-up approach. I know in some churches, you can only go where the pastor decides. But not so in BBTC. BBTC, we want to encourage you, if you felt led by the Lord to go certain places, all you need to do is that there must be accountability. Alright? Some basic guidelines. Because we believe in the priesthood of believers. One of the distinctiveness of a brethren church is that we believe all of you can hear from God directly. Right? You don't need someone to hear from God on your behalf. You can hear from God. And because you can hear from God, you can allow God to lead you to places that He has called you. The only thing that we want to guide you is ownership. And one of the ways to encourage ownership is that there must be proper accountability to your body life leaders. Your self-supervisor, your self-overseer, your self-pastor. Alright, there must be proper accountability. Alright, they need to know what you're doing so that they can pray for you. In BBTC, we talk about A and C. Accountability and covering. Because when you tell me that you're going to Yunnan, and we will assure you that we will cover you in prayer. Right, that's what we mean by A and C. Right, so that's what we have. And of course, it must be endorsed by your body life leadership, like cell leaders, supervisors, and so forth. Now, the other thing that we want to do is that we also encourage you that you must have some ownership by the cell group. Because we do not want you to go for a mission trip where you just touch and go. Because when you touch and go, you may end up contributing more problem to the place. Alright, so we want to encourage you, you only go to places where there can be continuity, there can be sustainability. That's why every places that we mention here, we've been going there regularly. Alright, when you hear Kunming was mentioned many, many times. India was mentioned many, many times. Why? We keep going to the same place. Because we want to see transformation of the place. Now, we all have limited resources. And therefore, in BPTC, our general guideline is that we like to only go to places where this particular place have not been supported or received minimal support from elsewhere. Right, so that we can really do more for them. Alright? So that's all we have. Now, so I want to encourage all of you, don't hold back. You don't have to wait for the pastor to call you. If you feel led by the Lord to go anywhere, just talk to your cell leaders. Pray with your cell leaders. If the cell group endorses, your body life endorses, go. Just don't tell us that you're going to Antarctica and convert the penguin, okay? Otherwise, most part of the world is covered. What will help you to help you and I to be involved in mission? First, we need to know all authority, the source for mission. Because when you know the source for mission, it will give you the courage to go. Secondly, what will help you and I to go is that we need to understand the place that God is calling us is all nations. Now, what does that mean? Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. In the scripture, when the word nations are used, right, the word nations is used, it does not mean a political nation. It means people group. Because the word nations come from the word ethnos, where you get the word ethnicity or people group. Right? People group means that this is a group of people that share common culture, common language, common practices, common religion. Alright, so we're talking about people group. So when the Bible says go to all the nations, it says go to all the people groups. Now you see, within any politically defined nation, there are many people groups. Take for example Singapore. How many people groups are there in Singapore? At least four. Four major races. Then when you look at Chinese, how many subgroups can you find in Chinese? You got your Hokkien, your Teochew, your Hainan, and your many, many others. And within that dialect group, you know that the dialect group has unique language, unique dialect, unique cultural practice. The Teochew have a certain practice. The Hokkien have a certain practice. Right? They're all different. So what does that mean for you and I? What is the implication? We need to adapt to culture. We need to be aware that we are going out for people group. There's a need for us to be culturally adaptable. We need to adapt to the culture that God is calling us into. Alright? That's why people say that mission is not mission until you cross culture. Because if you are reaching people of your same type, alright, it's just normal evangelism. But if you are going to do mission, there must be a bit of cross culture. So there's a need to adapt to culture. I want to tell you the story of Melissa. Right, Melissa is featured in this book. And so I want to share with you about her. She's a precious daughter of God and she understood cross-culture. Now let me read to you her testimony. I was 19 when I first went to Robino on a mission trip. At that time, I saw it as a major event in my life because I'm going to spend 1 week of my life into the village to do community health education. Every day was hot and sweaty. I was annoyed at the mosquito and my limitation with the language. Nevertheless, I was having a lot of fun. One dark night after the work, I was in the village looking at the sky. It was the most beautiful sky I had ever seen. It was black and ablaze with stars. Countless stars dotted the great expanse. I was so absorbed by the beauty that I saw. I wonder what Abraham, having been called out of his own land, must have felt when God promised him that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. Standing under the sky, I felt so tiny, but I also felt the vastness and the immensity of God's promise. That day I told God, if this is mission, I want to do it. When I came back to Singapore, I studied linguistics. I learned to speak the national language of Robino, so I could go back there one day. So you can see that she's really getting into the culture. As I searched, I realized that there are many languages in the country. The languages were spoken by millions of people who have no access to God's Word because it has yet to be translated into their language. I also discovered the ministry of Wycliffe. I asked them if they can take me in as intern to observe what they do. Together with BBDC, they sent me back to Robino to build a spelling system for the people and teach linguistic classes. What I experienced in that year living in Robino was very jungly and strange, but also beyond anything I ever imagined. I watched lives being transformed when people came into contact with God's Word. I witnessed crowds of people from all religions gathering to hear the story about Jesus. I made many friends, traveled to many places. With my own eyes, I saw the many descendants that God has promised Abraham. And just like that, my 1 year ended, leaving me with the feeling that I barely scraped the surface of the great work of God. When I think back of my first week-long trip, I laugh at myself. It's hard to believe that I once thought that was the greatest adventure I had. But now that I've gone to the field for 1 year, I'm clear that when people step out in faith, God is pleased and will one day show them an eternal kingdom. There's something I can't wait to see. I'm Melissa. So I want to encourage you. 1 week is very short. She has given 1 year. In fact, today, she's in Canada continuing her language study, so that she can come back and translate more languages for the people of Robino. God can use Melissa because she understood the need to adapt to culture rather than to impose our culture on the people. What would help you and I to be involved in mission? You and I need to be sensitive to the diverse culture that we are going into. All right, as I said earlier, we need to learn to adapt to the culture rather than impose our culture on them. Now, having said that, I'm not saying all of you must take up language classes, okay? Don't need to take up language classes. All you need to do is that you need to be aware that there's a cultural issue and we need to know how to adapt. Now, you and I don't have to go to jungle to start. Thank God. No need to go to jungle to start, okay? Where did God ask us to start? God give us a formula. Where do you start? Start from your Jerusalem. Alright, then to Judea, to Samaria. Where is our Jerusalem? I think it's called Bedok. And then maybe Tampines. And then maybe Jurong. You don't have to go out of Singapore to be in contact with diverse people group, because today the nations are at our doorstep. Yesterday when I preached this, Pastor Jack was so excited. She came to tell me that, you know, right now in the Port XL, you know, our tuition for the neighborhood here, she already has a child from India enrolled in her tuition class. Today the nations are already at our doorsteps. We don't have to go, okay, some of us, we may be led to go overseas, but some of us, we can start here in Singapore. The nations are already here with us. Alright, I want to encourage us. Great Commission talks about cross culture. For some of us, maybe take baby step. The baby step is to go to HQ, get to know what BCCSC is doing. Because for some of you, you are middle class and above. The cross culture for you is to know the poor. You need to get to know how the poor is like in Singapore. That's why I encourage you. You don't have to go very far. Start with BCCSE. Or maybe you can start with the migrant workers. There are many migrant workers in Singapore. Just in BBTC alone, we have three language services. We have ministry for the Filipino, we have ministry for the Indonesian, we have ministry for the Telugu speaking Indian as well. Alright, so you can help out with all these various nationalities already in BBTC. You don't have to look far. Or some of you, you may have to reach out to the foreign students. They are already around us. Alright? But the main thing about this point, about all nations, is that you and I must cross culture. Just like Jesus, He emptied Himself and came to dwell among men. Jesus is the first missionary. And so I want to encourage us. We must put aside our preference and adapt to the culture of the people that we want to serve. Right? What will help you and I to be involved in mission? First, is about all authority, that God is the source of our calling. And because God is the source of our calling, it should give us courage to go out. Secondly, what will help us? We need to recognize is all nations talk about different people group, and therefore you and I must be culturally aware. Thirdly, all that I commanded you, talk about the scripture. And we need to comply, we need to obey to scripture. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Verse 20, talk about making disciples. And it defines for us how disciples look like. Right? They are people who observe all that I commanded you. The word observe is not adequate. What it means is that people who hear and obey. Disciples are people who hear and obey. In fact, the word disciples is not a very good translation for us. A better word would have been apprenticed. Right? English words sometimes fail to translate the full meaning of the original text. What Jesus meant is that, go and make apprenticed out of all of them. You see, the disciples in Jesus' time, what would they do? They will attach themselves to the teacher. They will live with the teacher. They will observe the teacher. And whatever the teacher taught them, they will learn and they will apply, and then later they will teach. And Jesus modeled that for us. In Mark 3:14, Jesus called the 12 disciples first to be with Him. They stayed with Him, they identified with Him, and then He taught them. Then in turn, they go out and teach others. That's discipleship. A mission is the same. We want the locals, we want the people that we go to be disciples. We want them to be able to observe what we are doing, so that eventually they can apply it, they can teach it themselves. Alright, and then let me share with you one testimony. This was given to me, and this author sent to me. He says, not long ago, BBTC sent 4 BBTians, including the author, to take part in medical mission to this place. The aim of this medical mission was twofold. First, to demonstrate Christ's love through healthcare. I saw their medical team there. Second is to spread the translated oral Bible story among the masses. During the clinics, the patient will queue up and they have a chance to listen to the gospel presented in their original language, in their local language. And in some of the clinics, the video were being played. The combined effort, they managed to go 4 out of the 6 people group. In total, they reached out to 691 people. The local enjoyed the story so much, they actually asked for the material, they asked for the video as well. The local churches that partnered with us were so excited, they say, "When are you coming back?" And so, unfortunately, I reasoned with them that it would be difficult for us to come back because Singaporeans have packed schedule. You know, Singaporeans are also called Russian. We rush here and there. Alright, so it's very typical, you know, when we budget ourselves, we budget 1 week. So by the time they hit the 7th day, there are 2 more locations they could not go. And so the local were not satisfied with my answer. They said that, who's going to reach out to the 2 other locations? So the local asked, can we do it? The locals themselves. They want to do it. And so the team was happy to give to the locals the materials and so forth. And this was recorded. The local team decided to hold it on their own with all the experience they've gathered from us. They went to an area 10 hours away, carrying boxes of medicine and the Bible stories. And once again, the crowd came and listened to the Bible stories. I don't know about you, but we are very encouraged by this testimony because it showed us that we have multiplied ourselves. Right? They could do all that because they are good disciples. They have watched our team, they have listened to our team, and now they are able to do it themselves. This is the heart of mission. To disciple the locals to do what we can do for them today. The Great Commission is all about making disciples. So that our disciples in turn can disciple others. But this presupposes that we are disciple ourselves first. We must first be disciples of Jesus. We must first be people who live by the Word of God. We cannot tell people to do something when we ourselves are not doing it. You cannot tell somebody to study the Bible if we ourselves are not studying the Bible ourselves. We cannot tell people to obey the Lord when we ourselves are not obeying the Bible ourselves. Because if we do that, what are we teaching them? If we are not obeying the Bible, but we tell people to obey the Bible, what are we doing? I think there's a biblical word for it. It's called hypocrisy. We are being hypocrites. And so church, I want to encourage us. It must start with us. All of us must return back to discipleship again. Because it must be real in us. God must be first be real in us. So that in turn when we tell people about God, they can feel it, they can sense it, they know that it's authentic. Otherwise what we tell people is just shallow, hollow Christianity. God must first be real in us. So therefore all of us must return back to discipleship. Do you know how to know your state? How do you do a self examination? Very simple. Ask the friends around you this simple question. Do I look like Jesus? Why do I say that? Because what is the goal of discipleship? It's so that you and I become more and more like Jesus. So you cannot answer that question yourself. Huh? You need to be honest. Ask your family. Ask your colleague. Do I reflect God to you? Now, this is not a question to condemn us. This is a question to help us to do some reality check. But I have good news for you. We are transformed by obeying the Word of God. All it takes is for us to get back to the Word. Get back to obey the Word. Because as you obey the Word more and more, you reflect God more and more. So that's why this point is about complying with the Word. Obeying the Word. Church, we need to return back to discipleship. So that when we go out and disciple the nations, we are not disqualified in what we preach. It must start with us. What will help you and I to be involved in mission? First, you need to know who calls you. God, who called you, hold all authority. That will give us the courage. Second, what will help us? We need to be reminded that it's all nations. We're talking about people group. Culture is involved. You and I must be sensitive to their culture. We cannot impose our culture. We need to go into their culture. Thirdly, what will help you and I? We need to come back to all scriptures, all commands of God. And we must be discipled. We must comply with the word of God. And lastly, what will help you and I? Always with us. God says, I'm always with you. That will give us strength for mission. Verse 20. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How many of you, your name is L-O, Lo? Okay, now this is a lame joke. I always joke about the fact that Jesus suddenly paused and said, hey, Lo, where are you? I'm with you always. You know this is just a joke, right? When Jesus says, I'm with you always, it's not to those with surname Lo. Jesus is saying to all of us who are involved in mission. Let me qualify. God is saying that I'm with you always, not to every Christian. He is saying that to the context of this promise that I'm with you always is given to those who are going out to make disciples. Jesus is saying to all of us, if you take my word seriously and you go and do my will, I am with you always. And because when you know that God is always with you, it will give us the strength to continue. When you know that God is with you, it will bring comfort that you are not alone. By the way, the word comfort does not mean in a nice sofa with a cold water beside you with someone massaging you. That's not comfort. That's indulgence. The word comfort in the original meaning means fortified. Comfort. The word is fort. God fortified us. And that's the meaning of the word comfort. It means strengthen us. When you know that God is with you, it will strengthen us to continue. You know, when it comes to this point, I have many testimony of God's presence when our team go out. Alright, so let me quickly read out some stories for you. Alright, again, India. Alright, one team testified that despite the fact they drank water from the well, okay, they didn't boil the water, and they ate at the slum, they experienced divine health, divine energy throughout the whole India trip. And not only that, they also witnessed quite a lot of healing. Alright, they saw leg extended, they saw healing of eyes, they saw healing of the back, healing of skin problems. They saw a lot of healing took place. And they reminded them of scripture, Mark 16:18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They saw the presence of God accompany them. Right? We don't have to chase after signs and wonders, because God says that when you do the will of God, signs and wonders will accompany you. And that's what happened. How many of you are 14 years old and below? Don't have, huh? Okay. This is a testimony from a 14 years old. Alright? And she wrote this to me. She said, 2 years ago in 2014, I signed up for Cebu Mission. I felt a bit odd in the team because I was the youngest and the rest were like 16 and older. But I'm thankful for the trip as I saw God use me as a sec 2 to serve Him. In Cebu, we participated in Jesus Fiesta, which is an outreach event. We visited churches and Bogo City. Bogo City is the city that was hit by Typhoon Haiyan. Alright? So she went there to encourage the people. There were always a time whereby we were asked to stand in front and minister to others. I was pretty nervous as in Singapore, only the core leaders will stand in front and pray for people. But there and then in Cebu, I had the opportunity to pray for others. I saw how God could use me as a sec 2 girl to pray by faith for the people there. Sec 2. 14 years old. Experienced God with her as she prayed for the sick. If God can use a 14 years old, God can use all of us here. Amen? Because God, whoever God uses is irrespective of age. If only you believe. And she saw the presence of God in her life. Last one, last story. Indonesia again. And God takes us on an adventure at every mission trip. Something always happened to show His power. I recall a boat trip to an island when it rained heavily. We were all soaked to the skin and tossed by the waves. As if it's not bad enough, one out of the two engines failed. The story of Jesus caught in the storm came to our mind. Being taught well in BBTC as effective priest and king, we commanded with one voice, "Storm, be still." Nothing immediately happened as the rain continued to fall. But someone seated in front of the boat shouted. Because he was seated in front, he saw ahead the dark clouds disappear. By the time the boat landed on the shore, there was no more rain. God acted. They saw the presence of God. All these three testimonies illustrate to us the presence and the power of God will accompany us when we go out and make disciples. When we go out and make disciples locally, when we go out and make disciples overseas, God will be with us. We are not alone. What will help you and I to be involved in mission? First, you need to know who called you. The source of our mission is God Himself, and that will give us the courage. Secondly, we need to know all nations. And therefore, you and I must be culturally sensitive, adapt to the culture. Thirdly, all that I commanded you, scriptures. We need to live by the scriptures. Scripture must come alive in our life. And then lastly, God promised us He will always be with us. That will give us the strength to carry on. Why do we do mission? Let me end up with this. Mission is needed because worship is missing. That's why the worship team must come out. You see, why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we love God. And we want to see God being lifted up. We want to see God being exalted. That's why we do mission. That's why we make disciples. That's why we do what we do. Because we want to see God being worshipped. Now this week has been a challenging week for me. Beside the fact that I lost my cousin because she passed away. But I was encouraged by two very powerful testimonies. From two different sources, I was told that two persons was medically ill. They had a very complicated medical condition. They were almost, they were close to their death. They were in and out of coma. But both of them, separately, met God in their subconscious. Right? They were not conscious, but they met God in their subconscious. And they cried out to God. And as a result, they cried out to God. God touched them. They woke up from their coma, and they were able to testify that it was God who saved them. And they both gave their life to Jesus. Isn't our God amazing? Now, let me give you some context. I have a benefit of interviewing one of them. Two of our BBTian sisters have visited this man, Mr. Yu. Visited him and prayed for him, but he had rejected the gospel. He had rejected the gospel repeatedly. And then finally, on the last day, where the doctor called them and says that he's reaching his last. The two sisters from BBTC rushed down to pray for him. And he rejected the gospel again. And yet, in his subconscious mind, the Lord played back the memory of what the two sisters was doing. And he called to God. So I'd like to encourage you to sit back now. We talk about culture, our mission, right? So you need to cross culture because this testimony is in Mandarin. But it's translated, English subtitled for you, okay? So sit back and enjoy the testimony. Thank you.
到了阳王阎王殿啊，就没有人来救我啊，只有他们家两母女有来救我了。
你看到他们两母女？
嗯，看到两母女一直劝解我，劝了很久啊，整差不多整大半天啊。劝解我，他说：“阿姨讲，你要不要生？如果你要生，你就求耶稣保佑你。”我说：“要怎么样生呢？”他说：“你求耶稣保佑你了，保护你平安，保护你病好起来。”你的死亡会消掉。
嗯，
我说怎么会消掉呢？第一个就是一段时间你就死，第二个要求就是不死。
嗯，
要求你如果第一个能够也不错啦。我说我已经80多岁了，对不对？
嗯。
如果第二个永生不死，可以保护我永生不死，那我不如保护我永生不死了。
嗯。
我说，就要求上帝帮我，就那边解脱我的死亡啊。
嗯。
就没有死了，我就没有死。就这样过去了。
像如果有了，
那你看到
本来我是什么都不相信的呀。
嗯，
我是无神论人家。
嗯，
你有真正看到耶稣吗？
你看到耶稣胡说吗？站在那边哦，哇，眼睛大大，头发长长。
嗯。
啊。
嗯。那你为什么会信呢？
因为他救了我吗？
嗯 ，OK。
他说可以答应我吗？
嗯，
答应我复生吗？
永生不死。
永生不死吗？
嗯，
那你不相信？
嗯，
你要不要相信？
我相信啊，
我就是。
应该是你喽。
阿凤啊，同他妈妈两个功劳最大。
嗯，
隔两天，隔一天就来。
救了我两个人，救了我重生。
也是救你的。
真的，救了我重生了，嗯。不然我就死掉了，哪里还有这么同你讲话？
哦，
感谢主，
所以他救了我，我不感谢主耶稣。
嗯，
阿门。
阿门。
阿门。I have the joy of baptizing him on Wednesday. This video was a video on Wednesday at the hospital, and he was so touched by God. He says that I want to come and worship God.Yesterday he arranged with the hospital and he was here with us on Saturday night service because he wanted to give God the due worship. Church, I want to encourage us. Don't be spectators. Don't sit in the church day, week in, week out. Because you'll miss out all that God can do in us and through us. Join us and make disciples today. Join us and go out to the mission field today.Decide today that you do something about the Word of God. Don't just be mere hearers. You hear the wonderful testimony of all the BP teachers. They have gone out and they have seen God use them. Join us. Determine today that within the next 12 months, I will make a trip. We want a team. Because I want to experience God through the ministry. So I encourage us right now. Why don't you just close your eyes for a while? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you.Allow God to speak to you. We are still early, so don't have to rush. Allow God to speak to you. What does the Lord require of your life today? The Word of God is not meant to be heard. The Word of God is meant to be obeyed. What does the Lord require of you today? I want to encourage a group of you. You've been thinking about mission and as you hear this testimony, it further reinforced in your heart that you like to go. With all eyes closed, all head bowed. This is between you and God. I want to encourage you. If today you in your heart you say that, God, I've heard this testimony and my heart is stirred and I want to be part of a mission team. I want to be involved in the Great Commission. With all eyes closed, all head. But if this is your decision, just between you and God. At the count of three, I just want you to lift up your hands to God. To tell God, God, today I make a decision. I want to be part of the Great Commission. I want to go. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm willing. Right, so all eyes closed, all head. But I'm going to count to three. If that's your decision, at the count of three, just lift up your hand and put it down. Alright, ready? One, two, three. Alright, praise God. That God is seeing your hand. God is seeing all your hands. Lord, I pray for these hands. I pray for these brothers and sisters. Dear Lord, may you help them to seal that decision today. Lord, we do not want to be spectators. We want to be participants in the Great Commission. Lord, today seal that decision and help them remove the barriers, remove the obstacles so that they can be involved, whether in local missions or in overseas missions, so that, Lord, that they can see your glory, they can see your presence in their lives. Commit them all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we're going to end the service. I'm going to ask Yuling to lead us in this song, The Mission. Because today we're talking about the mission. And I thought it's most appropriate to end this time together by singing the song, The Mission. But before that, I want to share with you that I sense that I want to encourage two group of you to come forward. One group of you, you just lifted up your hand just now. And I want to encourage you, as you worship the Lord, come to the front, make a personal commitment with the Lord. Because many, many years back, when I was young and I hear a mission conference and I heard a mission sermon, I told the Lord, Lord, use me. And the rest is history. Because the Lord will help you to keep that commitment. But today there are some of you, you need prayer. Just like the disciples of the past, you need prayers. Because you have doubts, there are problems in your life. You are struggling with some issues. I want to encourage you, come to your right hand side. There will be elders and pastors that will pray for you. So church, can I invite all of us to stand? I'm going to pass the time to Yuling to lead us in this song. I want to encourage all of you, don't just hear the word, but do something about the word. If you lift up your hands just now, I want to encourage you, even right at the balcony, make your way down to the altar on your left. Make a personal altar to the Lord. And for some of you, if the word means something, the word of knowledge means something to you, you need someone to pray for you. For some of you, maybe you are discouraged because you have been to mission before. You need prayers. So as we worship the Lord, you come. Come to your right. Allow us to pray with you. Alright? Willing, lead us. Yes, respond to the call of God. Come. Heed the call of God. Come. Church, I want to invite us to stretch out our hands to our brothers and sisters here. I feel led, I want to pray for them. Right, just stretch out our hands and bless them. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word have not returned to you void. But today, Lord, that your word have reaped a harvest of souls. By faith, Lord, we believe that as our brothers and sisters give of their time to God, Lord, you will multiply their time. In exchange for their time, they will see multitude come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters today. Lord, set them apart. Lord, help them to stay faithful to the decision they made with you today. Help them to know that they are not alone. You are with them. And so that because you are with them, Lord, encourage them. Lord, remove the barriers. Remove the hindrances. Remove anything that will hinder them from going. And Lord, bless them. That from this day forth, Lord, make the plan so clear. Make your will so direct that they will know they are right in the middle of the Father's will for their lives. And bless them. That they will go with a sense of calling. They'll go with a sense of authority, knowing that they do not go alone, but you go with them. So Lord, we want to bless them. We will commit them all to you, Lord. Lord, watch their lives, mark their lives, so that they may be faithful to their response they make today. And Lord, we pray for all of us in BBTC. Lord, ignite a fresh fire for the Great Commission. Lord, we do not want to be the lives, the story, the modern day parable of the life-saving station. We want to be one that is true. We want to be a church that is truly saving lives for the glory of God. Lord, put a new fire in our hearts for evangelism. Put a new fire in our hearts for the lost. Lord, make our church a missional church for the glory of God. Lord, touch your church. Turn our hearts around for the kingdom of God. That we will not live for ourselves, but that we will live for our King, who is worthy of our all. So that, Lord, the BBTC will truly be a church that bless your heart. Hear our prayer. Lord, answer our prayer, Lord. Because we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. May God bless you. The service is over. But if you need prayer, just come.